Good evening, everyone. We do have a quorum. Welcome to the regular meeting work session this August 11, 2025. Madam Clerk, would you please call the roll?
Mr. Cleworth?
Here.
Ms. Therrien?
Here.
Ms. Sprinkle? Ms. Tidwell? Mr. Marnie?
I'm here.
Mr. Ringstad?
Here.
Mayor Pruse?
Here. Okay. We are going into our budget process. Yes, it's only August, but we're looking at a different way of coming into our budget. We've been through the revenues and a few other things, so it's time to get the city council to review what we're doing, the direction we're going. Now, this is what we're going to show you tonight is not something definitive for you tonight to make decisions on per se. It's to start showing you the different windows you're going to be looking at. The final budget will be yours. We will have individual working days on the different departments, and we'll do that as we always have. But since this is a new different style, target-based budgeting, we thought it best to start early, start often. Now, the best way to describe this is this, all of our past budgets have been from bottom up. Having the department heads put together a budget and give us to us, and then we go through it, I'll go through it and cut this and this and this, because they think it's at times it might be Christmas, but it's not. So what we thought, Margarita thought rather, is target-based budgeting, a different concept, where we decide from the beginning the allocations and then have them put in the extra things that they want in their budget that is allocated towards them. Now, as we go along, you're going to see all the allocations for employees. That's there. That's something we don't change unless you want to take some people out. In this budget, this is where you will decide what your priorities are, how we're going to do this, what you want. That's what a budget does. And so, also, let's keep our eye on the ball. When I walked into the Finance Committee at the end of last month, I put two numbers on the board. One was $12 million, one was $3 million. $12 million is what our reserve is right now. We want to maintain that. The $3 million is what we have to think about next year paying for a settlement award. So those are the two things we got to also keep our eye on. So with that, Margarita.
We're going to start with Mike with an overview.
All right. So We'll start with a quick overview of target-based budgeting, and then we will go to schedule with Margarita, and then we'll come back to me, and we will start working on what service levels the council wants to go with. So you've heard, you know, we've had a couple work sessions on target-based budgeting already. So what I'd like to do is just jump right into the steps and the target-based budgeting overview page that I gave you. If you look at there in the middle, there's a TBB steps. So here's what we've done already. Margarita has already developed the revenue forecast. The mayor has determined his priorities for the core services. The mayor has set and is about to present his amounts for the core services to the city council. And the part that we're going to start working on is the city council determining their priorities for core services. So when you're doing the part with me about the core services, we're not talking dollars and cents. We're talking general overview. Like, here's this service. We want to increase this service, or this service is doing fine, or now we don't really need that service anymore. So it's big picture stuff. It's not getting into the weeds on the dollars and cents that you will do with Margarita. But just to go over some of the quick benefits of target-based budgeting again to remind us all why we're doing this. It allows us to focus on the big picture rather than getting, you know, wrapped around the weeds on the, you know, moving $100 from here to there and you know, because the department heads already have that control over their budget. So we'll be able to focus on the big picture rather than going into those micro movements on the budget. It gives the elected officials a chance to look at all the data before making decisions. So when you get to the point where you are looking at the supplemental funding requests or budget requests, you will get all of them before you make any decisions. So rather than it being just whichever department happens to be first, you know, you're not gonna be making those decisions on the fly. You're going to be waiting until the very end. So you've listened to all the departments and you have all the information in front of you so that you can keep that big picture in view. It gives the department heads the autonomy to run their departments. You're going to say, hey, this is your amount. Put the amount in the different categories as needed. It eliminates a lot of the budget games. Padding is a big one. We have, and Margarita and I definitely knew this was gonna happen. We have, you know, some department heads that may have, you know, had a little bit of padding in their budget, and with it being stripped out, they are scrambling a little bit now and not too happy with the way that it's going. But those additional requests will come to you as rather than hidden in some you know, some other category, they will come to you as specific requests and supplemental budget requests. It also requires the elected officials and the staff to start thinking about what to do when confronting increasing costs. Things are not getting any cheaper. I'm sure that you guys are very well aware of how tight the budget is. So when it comes to the increase in cost, we gotta figure out, are we going to, you know, raise revenue? Are we going to find more efficiencies? Are we gonna limit the new ideas and new services that we're offering, or are we gonna cut some services? And then this also promotes collaboration between the departments. This is not something that I would have thought of when I first read through all of this, but when Margarita and I went to a GFOA presentation, a webinar, this is one of the things that they brought up, was a big benefit of target-based budgeting. When you have all the department heads in the same room listening to all the different supplemental budget requests, you know, they can start realizing like, well, hey, we could team up on this one, or hey, I can share this resource with you, or it has some real potential to increase collaboration between departments. And then finally, it encourages strategic planning. So that's, you know, that's what we really want the department heads and all the elected officials to be focused on, is like, where do we want to be, you know, next year, the year after, that sort of thing. So that's a quick overview of target-based budgeting. Anybody have any questions before we go?
Ms. Therrien.
So we've been talking a lot about the problems in downtown with regard to some of the people that don't have homes, that may have drug or alcohol problems or mental health issues. And if we're really going to look at what we really want as a core service, I think we gotta talk about that. And I don't know if we get to do that today or at the next time, but I know John and Lonnie and Crystal and everybody has all been very worried about how do we address those issues. And you know, going just to a base budget, and you want to know our priorities, that's my priority.
Okay. Yeah, in the this worksheet that I gave you all 2 weeks ago, I believe.
Yeah.
Under the mayor's office, there, you know, it has the social services in there. And then under, you know, FPD, of course, there's, you know, patrol service levels. And the combination of those two would be how you would address that problem. So when we get to that, when it's time to start looking at those priorities, we'll... you know, we can definitely talk about that.
Have you guys talked about that and getting ready for these budgets? And do you have a plan?
Yes, kind of. Okay. I mean, we'll have at least one supplemental budget request that will come before you in November. So.
We have to wait.
I mean, you have to see all of the supplemental rather than making a decision on the fly. You can tell us like if the whole council agrees that that's your top priority, then that lets the department heads know like, hey, we need to we need to see what we can do to address this matter.
Valerie, underneath the second page, you have service levels, and you have mayor's office, legal, city clerk, finance. Then you come down mayor's office, and you have housing, reentry, crisis, now service level. That's where you're gonna circle increase. And then we'll take that back if everyone believes that we should be spending more money on what you just described, more than what we've projected to do. You put in the budget.
January 2026 to address this issue.
I mean, we're doing all that we can with the funding that we have.
We're talking about the budget tonight.
Yeah. Right.
But is there any other questions before we turn it over to Margarita?
Margarita, go ahead.
Okay, good evening, council members, mayor and council members. Before I begin with the preliminary budget packet that you have before you, which is the general fund-based budget, I wanted to just discuss the timeline for the budget process. The department heads will begin the process after the August 25th work session, which will be your second work session on target-based budgeting. The information from these work sessions will provide the department heads with priorities and their base budget. In October, the department heads will present information to the mayor on their budget, which will include the allocations and any other supplemental budget requests. And then the mayor will present as he does annually, a balanced budget by November 1. And in November, the department heads will meet with council. And we anticipate meeting for a week with department heads and then spending maybe one meeting or more discussing the supplemental budget request. And then the council, of course, will adopt the budget by December 31. So, I mean, December 15. Yo. So as you see, this is an extra step in the process, but it's a step that helps the department heads to get information about priorities, as well as to get a feel of their base budget. So to allow time to discuss the priorities and to review the data, for you to review the data over the next 2 weeks, I'm just gonna briefly discuss this packet that you have before you, and if you want to pull it out, if it's not in front of you. The first page is an overview. You'll see that the total revenues and other finances, this is the revenue forecast, is at 50.6 million. And then the total expenditures at this time is at 48.4, almost 48.5 million, which would leave a budget surplus of 2.1 million. On the second page is our first page of the revenue forecast, on what we call a revenue forecast. And it is the budget that you would see every year, except for it has additional information for you. The first set of three columns is the actual amounts from 2022 to 2024. In the middle section there, you have the original, the amended budget, and the total actuals as of July 31st for each line item. And then on the far end of this page, starting on page two, you see the 2026 preliminary budget with a percentage of change from the original budget. And I just wanted to mention some things about the forecast. I use a 2.2 CPI, which is the semi-annual CPI. We will not know what that annual CPI is until February 2026, so I use that for taxes. So some of those numbers will stay the same. We have the actual amounts for, like, the supplemental emergency management, transportation. So a lot of our large, significant revenue items are pretty much in place. The permanent fund transfer, I usually base that on the September 30s, so that number will be updated a little bit, before you see the mayor's final budget, proposed budget. But, and you'll also probably see increases along the way for a lot of the line items due to the increases in fees. And then there are some amounts that will be reviewed by department head, and they may make some adjustments accordingly. So those are, and you can find this information on pages 2, it's in the bottom right-hand corner, the page number through page 5. Now, if you look at page 4, there's something I'm adding this year to be accurate in how you present the financial statement info. Revenues are usually, revenues do not include what we call other financing sources, which are your transfers in and out. So I gave you a subtotal for revenues on page 4. And then on page 5, you can see a subtotal for other financing sources and uses, so that you can get a comparison between what is being proposed and what we've done in the past. And then you'll see the grand total on page 5. Moving on to page 6 is where we start the department expenditures, and this is the proposal. You'll see it's the same format as your revenue forecast. You have 3 years of actual data, followed by your budget amounts and amended budgets and actual expenditures as of July 31st. And then you'll see the preliminary budget. You will note as you go through this document that is salaries and benefits. Salaries and benefits are based on the current authorized positions, including the proposed change in the firefighter union contract is also included in this, the numbers you have before you. When the department heads are reviewing these this base budget, they cannot change any of the salaries and benefits. They cannot add at that time. That is all done through a supplemental budget request. The other cost, you might see utilities or distributions, those types of things. Those can be allocated. Well, distributions cannot, but other costs can be allocated by line item by the department heads. And then you'll see throughout this, for some departments, equipment replacement or facilities improvements, those are amounts that are transferred from the general fund to the capital fund based on prior years. And so when the mayor reviewed this, the amounts from the 2025 budget, and we incorporated increases for CPI on some increases under equipment for equipment transfer based on like an average for some of the departments. This is how we came up with some of the amounts that you'll see in this expenditures for the departments. The last and final page is a personnel summary. This report contains the current authorized positions. It also incorporates the changes that we made in the communication center, and as well as public works, which were changes that were made throughout the years. And there's some notes that imply, you know, why you see increases and decreases in the personnel, as well as the dates of contracts for the unions. So I encourage you to look through this. We'll look at this again next, at the next session, to allow time for the priorities discussion for tonight. We'll look at this again on August the 25th. Feel free to give me a call or come by if you have any questions on the numbers, but we'll discuss them in detail at the next work session.
Ms. Tidwell.
I just have a question. You said that the numbers for the fire department included the proposed, or you mean the contract that we're going to vote?
Right, for? Correct.
So that is included?
That is included in okay. this number, even Thank though you. I know it is not improved, but it's so that you can see what that might look like.
Mr. Clayworth.
Thank you, Margarita. Just two questions. just take property taxes, knowing that we're going to have a rebate program, are you showing here what you anticipate the whole thing is before the rebates? And rebates would show up as an expense, apparently?
Yes. The rebates are now, rebates are not reflected. So far, I have not received any rebates. And as soon as I do, I will make a note of that and incorporate it in.
And also in the building department for the waiver of fees, adjustments there possibly based on this summer, I suppose.
Yes. Part of their rebate of fees are not reflected in this from the standpoint of that's an area where I haven't increased them at the level where we think. So I guess you can say it is incorporated in that line item. It's not at the level that you would anticipate it to be.
Last question, the very first page, budget surplus. We've had, two or three amendments to the budget so far, this year's budget.
Mm-hmm, correct, in 2025.
After the last one, I don't remember it being $2 million as a surplus.
This is actually for 2026. If you were looking at the new budget for 2026, this is, you would be looking at revenues of 50.57 million.
I'm sorry, I was looking at July 31st, 2025.
Yeah, as of July 31st, 2025 means the expenditures within it, and this is the amount of the forecast, okay, as well as the expenditures as of this date.
Do you know currently in our this budget this year after the last amendment what our
The last amount amendment that you had, it was 1 million, and I'll give you the exact number here. At the last budget that we had, it was $1,017,591.
Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
Ms. Therrien.
Marguerite, just refresh me on the new grant position. I can't remember.
The council approved a resolution for a new grant to provide, and Mike might be the best one to speak about it. It's with Crisis Now. She's a part-time position.
Yeah, it's not actually with Crisis Now. It's separate. It's with the Fairbanks Police Department. We have a certified peer support specialist that's helping out with victim services. And the other grant positions that we have are the reentry services coordinator and Crisis Now and the housing coordinator. All of that grant is about to close.
Okay, so the new one is the career person?
It's a certified peer support specialist.
Peer support specialist.
Could you give more description of what that person does?
Yeah, she helps out with, it's a brand new position. We're one of 10 communities in the entire country that got that grant. And what she does is she helps out with, if there's a victim of a crime, she can assist that victim with the different, you know, like the legal proceedings. She can you know, make sure that they know about their appointments. She can, if they're having problems with the paperwork, she can help them out with paperwork, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. So it sounds like it belongs in the police department, but you've got it in the mayor's department.
We don't have it. She works out of City Hall, but she's and Brenda McFarland, our Crisis Now coordinator, is her direct supervisor. But she's working mostly with FPD.
It gets blurry.
Three, right? One and a half. I'd have to look. I can't remember off the top of my head.
Yeah. Which grant-funded positions do we have expiring this year and next year?
This year is the housing coordinator position. Next year is the reentry coordinator position. Although the trust is working with TCC on that one. So Marsha Oss, our current reentry coordinator, is doing half of her time with us, half the time with TCC. And then my understanding is eventually the reentry coalition may go to TCC, and that's normal progression. Those the coalition seats move from you know, around the community, so that's, it's not like anything bad. It's just a natural progression of the coalition.
And how long is Brenda's position funded for?
Oh, Brenda is also she's also up at the end of next year. So Crisis Now, Reentry, and all three of them are within the next 18 months will be finishing up. The reentry, like I said, will probably be transitioned entirely to TCC. The housing coordinator position, that's when I alluded to earlier that we'd have to have a supplemental budget request. I don't think the city should go without that position. We've had it for quite a while. We tried it without it for a little bit. It was not a great fit for the city without having it.
Ms. Tidwell.
Is there an opportunity to get those grants again or no?
Probably not. So the reentry one, we've gotten a longer, we've already had you know, more extensions on that than what the trust normally does. The same thing with all three of them, honestly. With the Crisis Now, we hope to be in a position where that position is not needed. And if you ask Brenda, that's been her goal since day one, is to work herself out of a job by getting that program up and going. So that shouldn't be a long-term program. We shouldn't want that. And then for the yeah, again, that the housing coordinator, that's the one that I think that we need to really focus on.
Any other questions?
Are we ready to go to the prioritization then?
Yes.
All right. So if y'all could pull out your city council prioritization questions for 2026, you will see that the original revenue number that I had on there is about $6,500 less than what it is today. That number is what it was when the when Mayor Pruse went through his. So my first question is, out of that $50 million, like, what would you want to hold back in reserve? Like, you know, if you hold back 1% of it, you're looking at, you know, 500 grand. If you're looking at, you know, 2%, you're $1 million in reserve, or, I mean, you could go zero. I mean, I've heard that there was times when budgets were passed with a budget of what was $100 or whatever it was. It was
well, one was presented to us for $100.
Is that what it was? Yeah.
And then we figured how to get to $350,000.
Right. Yeah.
But also, Council, please keep in mind that right after our normal meeting tonight, we go into executive session with AFL-CIO, and their contract is up this year. So we have to put in reserve for that. Mr. Ringstead.
I read this, I was thinking reserves, like we have to have $10 million in reserve all the time. So what you're really asking for here is how much of a surplus budget at the end of our budget process, how much surplus you want.
Right, exactly. How much of a surplus?
It's not impacting what we have in our capital reserve or our general operating fund reserve. Okay, I was thinking something different.
Yeah, again, you're sort of like forward funding decisions. Usually, the mayor would give you, this is what our reserve is at right now, and you'd make a few adjustments. Now you get a thought, how much do you want for a reserve? And that's where you start looking at your budget. Mr. Cleworth.
Follow up on the discussion that the two of you had. We know AFL-CIO is January 1. What other contracts mature next year?
That's for next year. That's it. Just AFL-CIO. Then the following year we have IBEW and PSEA again.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Yep, you're welcome. So, one way that I would look at this, if you want like the easy button version of this, is if you look at the sheets that Margarita gave you, which is includes the mayor's proposal, you'll see that there's $2,129,000 left over from what he put as core. if you were to use that, assuming that your priorities will end up being, you know, fairly similar to that, is there an amount out of that $2 million that you would want to try to not spend when you're looking at this?
To take home and do.
I know. We very well know that we're going to get six different answers on this. It was homework. 2 weeks ago it was homework. Now it's we need to talk about it. That's really got to be the front question that you ask with this. Otherwise you can just spend the. You know what I mean? Like last year, great example. Last year, you know, we brought what, $2.6 million to the table, and I felt like it was raining money in here. But if you set like, hey, this is the reserve that we want to have, then that will tamper those the amount that you spend. So I personally think this is one of the more important questions that the council needs to think about.
Mr. Ringstad, then Mr. Mr. Marty, Ms. Sprinkle.
I guess, you know, I'm a little frustrated with a continual budget changing all year long as opposed to here's your budget and this is what you get for the year. If we set and say we want X amount as reserves for now, I would hope that would be what would get you through the year as opposed to continually changing it throughout. I'm not sure what the purpose is. I mean, if we're going to continue to change our budget every 3 months throughout the year, do we need to have a major reserve? If we're not, then maybe we should have a significantly bigger reserve. That makes sense? I'm just trying to think out loud here as to what
you want to do is put enough in reserve for the variables. You don't know what your FLCIO contract will be. Don't know on the different engineering projects we have what that final budgeted amount that we budgeted for, what the contracted amount will be. Where you're going through the approval process of a firefighter's contract. That's been a very high variable with overtime, but we're knocking that down. So, Ms. Ring said, I totally understand where you're coming from. And the less variables we give to you throughout the year, the tighter your budget can be. And that's what my goal is. Mr. Marty.
So you kind of reminded me, I know last year we had substantial amount of money, 2.6, and you pretty much chewed that up. You remember what we ended up with?
No.
1.7. Yeah. When you finished the budget process, it went from 2.6 to 1.7.
And it's gone back up to 2.1?
No, it's still at 1 million. This is for next year.
Okay. Yeah. Mr. Marty, I'm quite frugal at times. Ms. Sprinkle?
Well, I don't know. I mean, if let's just say we say, let's keep it at 1 million. What then, Mike? What are you saying? We all go around the table and say this is our number, and you.
I mean, yeah. If you guys can, if you agree that a million is what your goal, this is just you're setting a goal. That's not. Yeah. This isn't written in stone until you vote on the budget.
Look at your history of past ones. 3 years ago it was 900,000. 2 years ago it was $1.2 million reserve of what your budget was. Last year is 1.7 million. And those have always given you enough money through the year to have a collective bargaining agreement change. So that's what you're looking at. So,
and the amendments that we add to it.
Yeah. You know, you don't know how much snow you're going to get. That's a variable. You don't know when you're going to be doing a heating system and it goes from 3.2 to 5. Those are the variables we deal with. Yeah.
Okay, well.
Yeah.
But you've always had enough reserve to keep the operations, and that's what you want to do, my thought.
Yeah. So with the 1 million, let's say that you all say 1 million is what you want to go with for this reserve, right? So that would mean that you have 1.1 million to use for any of the supplemental budget requests. And sorry, I keep wanting to call them decision packages. Like, yeah. So for the for all your supplemental budget stuff, you'd have 1.1 if you take if you say that you want to use 1 million for the for this. Now that's not to say that when you get into the budget process and you. You have $1.1 million worth of great ideas that you wanna incorporate, and then Jeremiah comes up with another one that, that costs you another $100,000. It's not saying you can't spend that. It's just saying that you're trying to set set a goal. You're trying to this is your goal that you're setting. It's very preliminary. You haven't seen the you haven't seen any of the supplemental requests yet. You know because they're not even they haven't been written yet. So this is just a. It's just a ballpark. Like, are you thinking one? Are you thinking, you know, $1 million? Are you thinking 1.5? Are you thinking 500,000? Yeah.
Ms. Sprinkle.
So, when we, as a council, note or agree to the budget, the quarterly incremental changes we make to a budget sometimes aren't passed through us, right? You've decided, okay, we're going to spend $300,000 or $30,000. Because you can. Are you then also going to look at that $1 million and say, well, we can't do the thing that we want to do, even though that hasn't gone to council? Is there going to be a tripwire to some of that? Because we find out sometimes after the fact.
We cannot spend any funds that haven't already been appropriated. Like, none. We can't, you know, if there's... a great example, the security down at the Golden Heart Plaza. We're using funds that were appropriated for security. Like, it's not that we're just spending funds that, that we didn't have access to begin
okay.
with.
Right. I'm not trying to be contentious on this. I just want to see where that...
The tripwires will occur once you take a look at what I've allocated to each department for after their personnel... what their supplemental budget is, and you're gonna see the tripwires, are they going over it on their request to me? And what am I doing? And that's your tripwire. You're gonna be agreeing with every expense in the budget, no matter what. And the tripwire is, how come they want more than what they spent last year with a little bit of increase?
Okay, okay, mm-hmm. Thank you.
And that's what you're gonna be looking at. Why do they want more? Ms. Therrien.
Yeah. Can we talk about how much the firefighters arbitration cost us this year? And is that included in this 2.129510?
This 2,129,510 is for next year, 2026. We haven't received the funds, nor have we spent the funds. We're working on... It would be what we would present to you on November, in November, to say, here's your budget numbers. Right. You know, you would get that overview. Instead of you getting it in November, you're actually getting it in August. So, okay. And this is just looking at it from a base budget point standpoint, looking at your 2025 original budget and taking into consideration CPI for some departments, looking at equipment replacement, this is what this number is. You're actually starting the 2026 budget process.
Mr. Ringstead.
Okay. Oh, So if we have 1.7 million and we had this arbitration award, how much is that gonna decrease the 1.7 million this year?
It will not. Because it was recoup, you had, when you budgeted for the attorney's office, yeah. You had anticipated an additional cost and court cost, and you have taken care of that, and that has been paid.
So the cost of the arbitration or the award of the increased cost?
The cost of the arbitration is covered,
right?
And you have an ordinance later on tonight to consider the this contract level, itself, yeah. The award amount.
And could you tell us what that is?
It's on,
I know. I was just.
It's about 400,000.
Yeah, it's 400 and right now you have over 1 million.
The million 17, so you can reduce it from that million 17.
Okay, so that was my question. So out of the 1.17 that we have right now, that's going to be reduced by the 400,000.
Yes.
And is it also going to be reduced by the other 3 million that we have to spend?
No, that is September. That is in the risk fund and will not impact the general fund.
Mr. Clearworth.
Mike, to your question, the assumption here is we have $2 million to play with. In my mind, we don't. What you have done here so far is to fund these departments in which you anticipate them to be a status quo. If we said we didn't add or subtract anything to that, and we ended our little process with $2 million, it goes into the general fund, and you've grown your general fund by $2 million, and it gives you money that possibly could be used for capital, and that's what we have done in the past. And so if we spend all this, that means you're spending money that could have gone to capital, and you're gonna, I mean, the council's job is to try and balance those two and go, what do we spend in capital? And a big part of capital we have ignored totally is road maintenance. And as a city, we're getting behind on that. So I don't want to give the impression we've got $2 million to play with, because if we spend all that over here, that's less for over there and with capital.
I would look at it this way. Right now, you have $2,129,510 to allocate how you want to allocate, be it capital, be it other items. It's your budget.
And contract.
What's that?
And upcoming contract.
Yeah. Mr. Ringstead.
So, I mean, if we're asking, we're on number one, right? We haven't gotten very far.
Yeah, we haven't gotten anywhere.
All you're asking for now is a ballpark. What do you put in? So when you present us a budget, how much surplus we have at the other end?
Right.
You're asking us three different questions. How much do you want generally in reserves?
Yep.
If any, how much do you want set up into that budget to come back for capital?
Yep.
Account. And if we want to put more money into the permanent fund.
Exactly.
That's what you're going to come back and present to us in the next few weeks. So as a starting place, what we should do is say, yeah, I think we ought to leave $1 million in here. We ought to put something into dollar amount or a percentage amount into capital. And I would say let's not put any more in the permanent fund. It's growing itself. I mean, what we're trying to do is give him guidance.
Well, that was easy, John Ringstead.
Yeah. You're my hero right now.
We're done.
Well, that's what he's trying to figure out. What ballpark do we want them to come back in a couple of weeks and say, okay, here's the proposal.
Right. Throw us a number.
$1 million into that, and I don't know if I want to do a dollar amount or a percentage of our budget into capital every year. Well, yeah, but I would hope that you would do it over time. I would hope it would continue.
But this is just the extra.
Yeah, all we're trying to do is give them something to come back to us with.
You know,
they've
something.
They've got to give us a balanced budget.
Historically, we've never had $1 million in reserve when we're done with our budget. We've been hoping for 300,000, 400,000. So whatever you want to do, enjoy the process. Think about it. This is where you make your decisions.
We do have a.
You could split the baby too. You could do 500,000 in each or something for right now. Or.
I'll just say 500K in capital.
How much?
500K. Just for now. Are you? You're going big, huh?
I think we need an auctioneer. Do I hear five? Do I hear 550?
Well, this is probably the godsend.
Yeah. Margarita. Yes.
I do want to make a comment. When the mayor submitted his budget last year, he had to, in order to get $2.6 million as a bottom line, he had to reduce department requests by $8.2 million. So you're looking at a number that's before the departments have presented additional requests that they're going to need for 2026. So that's just something to keep in mind.
I will keep them. Valerie.
Margarita, I'm looking on page 5, and it talks about transfers to the capital fund, garbage, and ambulance, and I see a blank spot to the transfer to the capital fund. And do I understand as of July 31st, we still have 4.5 million in the capital fund that hasn't been spent, or?
That's 4.5 million that you transferred in 2025 to the capital fund. And if you look over at the 2026 preliminary budget, you see there's zero.
Yeah.
A transfer. And that's usually something we do after we close out the books and we look at what the fund balance is, then we decide how much to move over. What Mr. Sanders is asking, of this amount beforehand, do you want to put something in that spot instead of zero? That's what the question
is. And here's something I really want you to think about before you make decisions on half a million going here or a million going there. We have a $3 million amount to pay. We can spend it, we can pay it from our risk fund, or we can do like we did, take our savings from last year, take some of the reserve and pay it there. That's your decision, but be looking at that. We have a $3 million settlement payment to make. So my personal thought is, for the next 2 years, our capital budget's not going to be as high as we wanted it to be.
And Margarita, I just have one more question. When you put parentheses around, is that saying we've overspent?
It means that it's not being added, it's being subtracted. Even though it's in the revenue section, so it's just stating that this is not a revenue that's being added to that number, it's being subtracted from your revenue.
And in the transfer to the capital fund, garbage, and ambulance, you're reducing those numbers then.
That's true. You're reducing it from the general fund, and those are coming from code. Code states that a certain percentage of your ambulance revenue and a certain percentage of your garbage collection revenue is automatically transferred to the capital fund. And we can...
If it's in parentheses, it's not being transferred.
It's being transferred, but it's not increasing your revenue. It's decreasing your revenue.
Yeah. To your point, Mr. Ringstad, we probably should keep rolling on this.
We're not voting on anything final tonight anyway.
Yeah, this is.
We're just ballparking this thing.
Yeah, I think we've gotten everybody talking about the first three questions. I mean, I think it is a good exercise, even though that, you know, there hasn't been, as Mr. Cleworth pointed out, would happen. There hasn't been a unanimous consensus on any of this yet. But this does get everybody thinking about just how tight the budget really is and how much goes into, and this is normally stuff that, I mean, it happens every year. The mayor takes care of this for you, year after year. But this lets the council see the other side of it.
And what I like about it, what I really like about it, is we give them from the top what their amount of their budget is, versus last year I had to cut $8.3 million out of their requests to get you a fund amount that we could do two CBAs with, plus have reserve. So we set the standard for the different departments versus the departments giving us a big wish list and all of us having to sit down and figure out what has to be cut.
So if we could, if it's all right with everybody, if we move on to the service levels, this is where we're gonna quit thinking about numbers for a second. And we're just gonna think about like the services that are actually provided to the citizens every day, okay? So, and what I did is I took all the departments and I took out the major core functions that those departments do. And so I just want the council to, if you would please, just think about those departments and what their core missions are. And as we go through this, like, are they doing fine with where they're at? are they, do they need to increase the amount of service that they're doing? And then by saying they're increasing the amount of service, that doesn't necessarily mean funding. That doesn't necessarily mean that you're giving them more money. That just means that you're prioritizing this function and you want to see more of that function. So we'll start with the mayor's office. For administrative service level, you know, essentially, you know, that's myself, that's Lauren, that's, you know, like the folks that are, they're helping the mayor with the day-to-day operations. To make this one easy, I would say that this is probably a pretty simple maintain. I don't think we need a deputy chief of staff like they have at the borough or anything like that yet. I think we're probably fine with what we have here. Is everybody fine with that? For HR service level, now this is one that I used it as an example the other day on purpose. So the national standard for HR is one HR person for every 50 people. We have two HR people that are for the 200 plus employees that we have. However, we have two rock stars in that department. So do you think that they're doing fine, or do you think it needs to increase? Do you think they need to provide more? Do you think that, or do you think they're doing well?
I'll take a shot at that. You know, I know we've finally, I think we're making progress with filling vacancies, and that's my concern. Do we need to have more HR to support the folks to get our vacant positions filled? And I don't know the answer to that, but that would be one I think we could look at down the road and say, okay, do we need some more something in there as one of the variables at the end of our budget process? That, to me, that's an open question.
Yes.
When you are asking that question, and John has just brought that up, if in fact we want more from HR, we like the people, but we need more advertising or something, is that an increase in service level, or is that maintained if it's just dollars for advertising?
No, if you're adding dollars for advertising, then that would be, I'd consider that an increase.
Okay, yeah. All right, thank you.
Mr. Marnie.
Well, I know Jake was pulled between two departments this last year, and as long as he's able to stay in his department, I think they're doing it. I mean, Christy alone said that, you know, we're not way behind on hires in dispatch, and I see a change. The only department that we really need more staffing would be the police department.
Yeah.
Correct. Yeah. We're working on that.
Yeah, if you want my take on this, HR is night and day different than what it was 4 or 5 years ago. I mean, they're killing it. So, if you were to ask me, that would be my suggestion. But this is your decision.
Who's doing purchasing?
From my view, they have maintained a very high level of efficiency since Jake has taken over with his team in there. They really do. You know, I get here every morning at between 7 and 7:15, and Jake is here about 6:30 working on his stuff. So I would say we're going to maintain that, aren't we, Jake? Without having to have an increase in funding, aren't right, Jake? Right, Jake? Maybe not.
That's what I hear, yes.
Yeah. Ms. Sprinkle.
You know, I hear where you're coming from. I feel it's like an exciting, people love their jobs, but I sure don't want to burn out the people who are doing the good job. So if they're coming at 6 in the morning and leaving at 7 at night because they have to, that worries me.
That's my responsibility to make sure that he doesn't do that, and we do a pretty good job.
Okay.
I attempt to stick to 8 hours where I can.
Okay.
It really depends on the ebb and flow of the business need.
And his workout regimen.
Yeah. True. All right. So for the next one, the next one is risk purchasing, safety, code enforcement, all the catch-all for everything else. And up until the council approved us to hire Jared, it was all falling to Christina Rolette, which was more than what one person could even, you know, remotely, you know, reasonably do appropriately. But now we have Christina and Jared, you know, divvying up the duties. Christina does all the risk and all the purchasing, and Jared does abatement, safety, code enforcement, et cetera. You just recently increased this, doubled the amount of people that were in there. I don't know of any big things that we are failing at in that department. Maintain.
Okay.
All right. All right, so this is the one that Ms. Therian brought up earlier. Housing reentry crisis now, you might as well throw in ESP in there too. You can throw in the certified peer support specialist we have with FPD. I've been here for going on 9 years, I think, and I've never seen the social services being delivered out of the city like they are right now. ESP was huge, reentry, housing, all this stuff. It's really coming together. I know you want stuff to happen immediately, and so do I, but if you look back where it was when the city first hired me as a housing coordinator compared to how things are now, it's night and day difference. I mean, the amount of services that the city is providing is phenomenal.
Ms. Therian.
I still think that I think we should increase.
Yeah. I think that there's definitely a need. I don't know what the increase would be, but we, yeah.
Mr. Ringstead.
Is any of that going away by the end of 26? And is that something that we should
address? The homeless housing coordinator runs out.
Keep that as an open question.
Yeah, the housing coordinator will be you. If you want that position in 2026, you'll need to fund it through the city coffers.
So it runs out in December this year.
Right.
Yes.
Yep. So the mental health trust funded that position for 4 years, and then the Rasmussen has funded it for 3. And I don't think we're going to get any more grant funding for that position.
Yeah, we'll have to figure it out. Maintain what we're doing.
I think we're doing really good, and if we're talking about losing funding, just maintaining it is actually going to
a higher financial burden on us.
Yes.
But I think, like Mike said, the level of services that we have.
I mean, more would be awesome.
Want to maintain the service.
It might be hard to just.
Yeah, you're just talking service level right now, like Ms. Tidwell said.
Yeah, okay, so we don't have to. Okay, yes, maintain. Yeah,
you know, and another thing is we're. We're working and coordinating a lot with the different agencies for homeless housing here in Fairbanks, with TCC, with Fairbanks Rescue Mission, with organizations like that. So our service level will be increasing over the next year if we maintain the homeless housing coordinator position, our service level will be increasing because of the synergy that we have being produced between everyone. And you got to look at our chief of staff here. That's where he started. And so he knows that industry, and he's in-house. So he's really good at coordinating it and getting it going. Ms. Sprinkle.
I know that the borough sent us $350,000 for the ESP.
They may send us $350,000 for you.
There's a issue.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh dear. Because yeah. Where I'm going here is it for this year or next year?
It's well, their fiscal year is different than ours, so we'd get part of it for this year, assuming that it comes through.
And is there strings attached to that we could? I'm not trying to be tricky, but is there any of that could that help pay for our homing?
No, there's a lot of, I guess, restrictions.
It's a directed appropriation. Yeah.
That's fair. I just wanted to see what kind of.
Yeah, I don't think there's any wiggle room
with
that.
Fine. I'm not looking for wiggle as much as I didn't know what the hard edges were. Okay.
Yeah, we're working with them to try to map out exactly how to spend those funds. So.
Okay.
Mr. Marnie.
Will we be privy to any of that information?
Yes, you will.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Right now.
I see. Oh, perfect. Yeah.
Mike, you want to go into more detail?
Yeah. Well, it's fine. Margarita said that Sarah is working on the resolution for that. So I guess it's going along. I know end of last week, we were talking with the deputy chief of staff over there, and we've had multiple meetings at the about this. So we're trying to get hammered out to be exactly what they want and where it can still. There's some of the restrictions they had on just wouldn't work because there was a state statute that countered it. So our ESP folks couldn't do some of the stuff that they wanted because it would counter state law. So, but yeah, I think we'll be able to spend it soon.
We'll get there eventually, but yeah. We're having to rewrite the proposal, I guess you'd call it.
Yeah.
Okay, legal.
Yeah. So some departments
cutting you down so far.
Yeah. Some departments I just left as a blanket, like legal and finance as just a blanket because there's so much that they do.
They're increasing their personnel in there.
Yeah.
And they've done so well without that increase.
The thing that I would say though. Is if you start
counseling bills.
sorry, Tom, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, I was just joking.
Oh, the thing that I would say when it comes to the legal department is there's a lot of stuff that the council I know wants to have happen that we can't do with just a city attorney and a deputy. Like if we get really hot and heavy into abatements and start doing 10 a year where we have to take them to court, like that's gonna be more than the two of them can handle. Or if we if we start getting really heavy into we want to start using our own citations and we want to start arresting people for vandalism or stuff like that, and we want to start prosecuting it, that's more than what the two people that are there can handle.
So. Or the one you really want to take a look at is if we have any more PFAS issues. Yes.
Again, I don't know who does what here, but for John to go through with what he did, are we not chasing that resolution because it's a state problem or is that a city problem? Where is that service level?
I think Tom can probably correct me if I'm wrong here, but I believe that like let's use an example of vandalism. It's a little, I think, a little simpler. Like if there was something that the DA wasn't willing to prosecute, I believe that under city ordinances that Tom could prosecute that.
Does that make you sad, Tom?
I mean, germane to this conversation, there's a capacity limit on what we can do. So if the city, if the council wants to start prosecuting some stuff that the DA can't or won't, to Mike's point, we just need to be paying attention to capacity. We've increased abatements, and Jared's doing a great job with that, but at the end of that comes to my office. So now, it's one more increase and thing that I'm taking on. Finance is doing a great job with chasing down small claims and liens and things like that. That comes back to my office to deal with that. So to Mike's point, if we want to start growing some of these other areas that end up in my world, it's a consideration.
Is it smart to maintain until you have your deputy in place? We don't know, this is a new hire and.
I would say over the next year, we're gonna see how that works out. And if we have to, before the deputy was part-time. Yeah. So maybe we have a future part-time second deputy attorney. But we'll get there.
So is maintain appropriate?
If that's what you feel, then yeah.
Well, Ms. Therrien.
No problem.
Well, going back to the fact that maybe the DA isn't willing to deal with the crime that's going on in the city, I think we should increase it. because I know that the DA said he was going to come talk to us sometime, but I don't see them doing a lot to help us with our petty crime and stuff and the whole issue of downtown. So I would think we need to increase it.
Any other discussion on the city attorney's level of service?
Are we thinking an increase then?
No, we're not. Actually, right now we're going to maintain because he's finally getting an assistant. We're going to see how that works out.
Gotcha.
And then see if there's more stuff that goes down the pike towards him, then we have to increase it. We can increase it.
Okay. All right. So moving on to city clerk. I mean, how's she doing? You know, do we...
We gave her a person last year.
Yeah. Do we maintain? No, I put down three in my mind, and I did these without consulting any of the department heads. So... in my mind, there, because I wanted it to be from a semi-outside perspective, from my mind, there's three main, very different functions from the clerk's office. And Danny, please correct me if I'm wrong, but you've got the clerk stuff that we see in this room every time that we're in this room, and then you've got the cashier, like the day-to-day, you know, doing business licenses and taking, you know, counting the marijuana money and all that stuff. And then you have the records maintenance piece of it, which the council gave a big boost to 2 years ago now, I think. So so with those three, do we maintain? Is there something that we need to you know, support Danny with more, or are we good with maintaining what they have right now?
On your records maintenance, are you drowning?
No, we're making progress. Elena is doing a pretty good job at dealing with departments at their own level of need. The mayor implementing a records workday each quarter has really helped us out and taken big chunks out of our backlog. Some of the stuff that Elena has already accomplished, you haven't seen yet because it just hasn't gotten through all of the review process yet, but she has done some pretty major projects.
So you're making headway.
Yeah, please don't take her away.
what I want you to do is whenever you're in the building, walk down past engineering and see all the boxes out downstairs. That's how you know what we're doing, how we're going.
There's less boxes now.
I know, there's less boxes. So Bob's been working hard on it. Elena's a gift that came to us. And also in the office with her, you have more compacture, more people working in the same amount of space, but they have great synergy. I mean, they really do. So overall, it's just working out very well, in my opinion. But you know me, you can do better.
For the sake of time, can we say maintain for those?
Maintain. Mm-hmm. Do better without an increase in cost.
All right. Finance. Those
Ooh.
Guys.
Dun, dun, dun.
I mean, other than, you know, losing to the mayor's office in every single game that we ever play, they are doing very well. One of the things that I would point out, though, is when we went through the mayor's recommendations, we did cut out the temporary employees. So they are, you know, the folks that come back and help out in the summertime or winter, whenever they are available. We did cut those positions out, and they will come back to you as a supplemental budget review. So I would definitely consider that when you're looking at it. This may be an area that you want to increase just because those positions are pretty valuable. So, and some of them may be cost neutral, actually. So,
yeah. Even though they lose to the mayor's office in every aspect that we compete with them on. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. We had to
That's
adjust
right.
the voting for them.
That's right, Lonnie.
Okay, let's go to IT now.
Okay, IT, those guys.
Jeez, I miss those guys.
All right, so IT, I am going to, as the guy who has to deal with all the IT stuff, I am going to say that maintain. If we were to reduce, I don't know what we would reduce. We're at the point where we've done a million audits. If you wanted to increase, and you know, I think the only way to increase on that would be literally another, to have somebody school trained in that position. But I do not plan on putting in a supplemental budget request for that.
Did you say school trained?
Yeah, somebody who's IT trained.
Oh,
you know, like an actual IT guy. In between Christy and I split a lot of those duties for IT, and she has a very good grasp on it, and I'm starting to get a decent grasp on it. If we were looking at $3 million to play with, I would definitely say, hey, let's get an IT guy in here. But for right now, I'm fine with maintain. If you guys are all fine with maintain, yeah, my general, son would be proud. Yeah.
Want to bring us through general there, Mike?
Yeah, we can go on to general distributions. So, you know, basically what we're giving out in grants, what we are giving out, not what we're taking in. And then the other part was facility maintenance. If you want to see more maintenance, if you want to see, you know, increased maintenance, you know, or if you think we're doing fine on maintenance, it can stay. If you want to, I wouldn't suggest reducing it, because that just gives us, as Mr. Ringstead points out, that deferred maintenance is never a good idea.
Mr. Mayor.
Ms. Sprinkle.
Facility maintenance. This is what a lot of gets done by Public Works, or it's in the buildings. Mm-hmm. Where are we with the bathrooms?
So last Wednesday they had the mandatory on-site, and I don't know how many people they had there, but it was a lot. Like, this building was packed with people for that, for the mandatory on-site. So
what does that mean?
For the RFP. So
oh, yeah.
Yeah, so it's moving forward. Yeah, contractors were here, okay, to get eyes on. So I suspect that we'll have bids coming in on that.
Okay.
Please. So,
wait, or we didn't decide on distributions. Are we maintaining all that?
Increase facility maintenance. I don't either, but in general, I think like deferred maintenance is what kills
our buildings.
And I think that's just a really important thing that we should.
Yes.
Like, this is really hard. I mean, okay. Some of these,
we
need more information on that.
Yeah, we're very diligent on maintaining everything, to tell you the truth, as it comes up. And so my thought is we maintain our diligence on it. And anytime we do anything, you're gonna see a budgeted amount or an issue. So that'll be reported back to you. We just got done getting the fire station on Aurora operational. We have stuff going into the training center. So the roof, we still have some work to do. We still have items to do on the heating system here. And so when anything breaks or is coming up to the end of a service life, you're going to know about it, and we're going to be trying to maintain it the way we do it now, to the best of our ability. Ms. Therrien.
Under faculty facility maintenance, does that include the new boiler system, or is that under capital projects and nothing to do with facility maintenance?
Yeah, that would be a capital project, so it wouldn't necessarily. This is more like your non-capital repairs and such.
So do you want the circle of increase or maintain on facility maintenance? Because it's all, whatever you want, Crystal.
All right, at least three increases, yep. So put that. Okay, all right, we are running out of time. I think we'll have to finish this up in the second work session, but we could probably knock out police real quick. So I broke this into three separate things. Patrol service, you know, like your guys and gals are out on the street doing the patrol. Investigation, you know, your detectives and the evidence folks. And the reason I separated out evidence is because of all the FOIA requests and such. We know that's an issue over there. So I'm going to just assume that all of us want to see more patrol officers, that we want that increase. And again, this isn't saying that we're going to throw more money at it. This is saying that we want to see more of that service. Yes. Is that safe to assume?
What I'll also do is at our next meeting, I'll have Teal come in here and give you an update on where we're at with personnel, our marketing, who we have in the hopper. She's done quite well, I believe, in getting available lateral hires, but we will see.
Question.
Yes.
Why her than?
Confused. I thought HR would do that. No?
No. Teal is one who's a recruiting officer.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Didn't know that. I mean, I know she. Sorry? Yeah. Just for them.
Jake is the one who processes them when we get them. Yeah.
Interesting.
Another three from Memphis.
Yeah,
you know, they're already talking about how they can kick my backside in barbecue.
Oh, dear.
That isn't hard.
So investigations, I don't know if we have as strong as feelings on that or not. I mean,
yeah,
they seem
to be
doing pretty
good. We have to increase that. We lost an investigator who retired. But and so we're down an investigator, so we got to increase. What's that?
Status quo would maintain the service.
Yeah. We have the position still in the budget. Question is, do we want to do more of it? And I just don't know enough about how much we're doing and how
right.
far behind we are, ahead we are, or whatever. I don't know enough about it. No.
That's a great point. What does that mean, Mike? Maintain or increase?
With this one, I mean, we're already kind of at the point where if there's anything they need for an investigation, I don't think that we have ever said no to it. Even if we have to use contingency funds to, you know, like say there's some new, a few years ago, there was some new DNA test that came out that they wanted to send a bunch of the cold case evidence to. So we were like, yeah, do it, you know, send it out there. I don't know of anything else that's pending on that.
So maintain.
I think maintain would probably work, in my personal opinion.
All right. Will we hear otherwise when they come up and talk about their own?
Yeah, for sure. For sure. They'll be able to talk about all that.
Okay.
Yeah.
That'll be the new stuff.
Yeah. Evidence service level. This is one that I don't know. I mean, this would be something that when you hear that a department's talking about, you may change your mind. We do know that the FOIA request for the videos is just, you know, eating their lunch over there right now.
This
so,
is Mike.
Yeah, it's Mike and crew.
Yes, Sue.
This was a question I asked last time we talked about this, and I never got an answer. I think someone was going to look into whether we could watermark our videos so that they couldn't be easily thrown onto YouTube without, you know, making them not, you know what I'm saying, right? And I don't know where that question ever went.
Let me find out.
Let me find out, and I'll have it within a week. I'll have you that answer.
It wouldn't make it valuable.
It's a very good point. And if we can do that, maybe that stops a lot of the FOIAs. Here you go. Watermarks.
Yeah.
Let me find that out. That's a good question. Thank you, Sue.
So I assume with that one, we'll probably leave it as maintained for right now. And with that, we are basically out of time, but we do have another work session scheduled for this. We knew this part would take us a little bit of time to get through. So if it's all right with everybody, we will pick up with a dispatch center at the next work session, and we'll keep rolling through this. And then I believe Margarita will be able to go over numbers with you then too.
We're adjourned. See you in 11 minutes.